Luke 19, I'm going to look through 1 through 10, and we're going to rest our hat on verse number 10, and we're going to talk about why Jesus Christ came. Why Jesus Christ came. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, it says, "And Jesus entered in, passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Let me read verse 10 one more time. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Precious Lord, thank you. Thank you for seeking and saving a lost man like myself. Thank you, Lord, for stepping out of glory and setting your holy garments aside and coming to this sinful world to save lost folks. Father God, we thank you. Because everyone in here that is saved was lost. And everyone in here that's not saved is lost.
Amen.
So we thank you, Father God, and we pray that those that are saved who were lost are empowered, and those who are lost get saved.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I sort of fascinated last night. This is something I usually don't do. I haven't watched any football all year. This is the first time I turned the TV on to watch any football. And really, it's just out of curiosity because Penn State was on. Not that I'm a Penn State fan. I'm not. But Penn State had a scandal. Penn State had a scandal just a few years ago. And their beloved coach, Joe Paterno, and his beloved assistant coach, I believe his name was Joe Sandusky,
Jerry
Sandusky. And serious charges were brought against them. And Mr. Sandusky went to prison on child molestation charges. And Joe Paterno passed away not long after everything broke. And the whole school was in chaos. And the whole school was in turmoil. But they did something that I thought was fascinating. Yesterday, it was whiteout night. Now, that would mean all white folks come out. Okay? The climate we in now, I got to clarify that. That meant everybody wore white. Okay? So when you looked into the crowd, anybody turned it on, it was just oceans of white. And they were just flowing. It was packed. You couldn't get another person in there. And I, y'all know I spiritualize everything. I said, look at that. Look at that. Here's this godless fool. Okay? This godless fool. Never once anybody mentioned. I follow this. They ain't mentioning Jesus Christ. They're not mentioning God. And here they are. They fully recovered. They got a new coach. They're undefeated. They're number two in the nation. And they're doing really well. And they've overcome something. They've overcome something. Then I think about the church. I think about the church. And in the church, it's told. The word of God tells the church. You're gonna go through something. You're going to get hit in the mouth. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And the righteous folk go to church. All who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer. The church is designed to go through. Okay? A church is not going through, probably in church. Let me clarify that. A church that's not going through, most likely not standing on nothing. Okay? You know, the number one reason why a church will not go through anything is because they're not saying anything.
Amen.
If you decide you're going to stand on the word of God, you can rest assured trouble coming your way.
Amen.
Has to. So I look at Penn State and I look at the church and I'm just reminded of this. What has God done for us? When you think about your lives, all of you out here, and I know many of you personally, trials and your tribulations, God has been good to all of us.
Amen.
All of us. I look out here and God gave some of us the strength to work 35 and 40 years in different places. Some of us, God has given us the strength to have children we didn't think we could have any. God has given us strength to maintain when all hell was breaking out in our lives. God has been good to us. God has been good to us.
Amen.
So, look at the text. Look at verse number 19. Excuse me, verse number 10, chapter 19. This text. It says, the Son of Man came to seek and save lost folks. Now, when we look at Luke 19, when I look at it, I see the people. The people was in the way. This little short man who was rich, his riches wasn't enough. Amen. He wanted to see Jesus. And he couldn't see him because of the people. Okay? And see, the people represent a lot of times the church. And a lot of people can't see Jesus because of church folk. Okay? People want to see Jesus, but they can't see Jesus because of church folk. I use the same illustration when the man had the palsy. He was carried by his four friends, and he was trying to get his friend to Jesus. And he couldn't get his friend to Jesus because church folk. Folk was just there. Nobody got healed. Nobody got blessed but the man and his four friends. But the church was packed out. Full house. Couldn't get another person in it. But nobody seen Jesus. Jesus came to seek and save lives. I'm going to go through maybe five steps on how he did it. We know. We know how he did it. He did it by dying for us.
Amen.
That's how he did it. Romans 5, verse number 6. Very familiar. You guys are very familiar with these verses. I'm going to use very familiar verses today. He says this. Here's Paul. And we know Paul. Paul was a sinner. A great sinner. So Paul had leverage here. He knew what he was talking from. He knew what he was talking about. He was talking about something he was really, really familiar with. And in Romans 5 and 6, he says, for when we were yet without strength.
Yeah.
Okay? When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God, commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me speak to this. For when we were yet without strength, we didn't have strength to do good. See, some folk want to do good, don't have no strength to do good. Okay? See, there's a whole lot of unsaved folks that want to do good, but don't have the strength to do good. Because that strength comes only, the strength to do good only comes from Christ. It only comes from your relationship with the Lord. See, so while we were without strength, Bible says in due time. In due time. In due time means not too early, not too late. God saves you right when he wants to save you. And God will come to your life when he wants to come to your life. Okay? For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Listen. But God. There's a lot of but Gods in the Bible. Christ came into our lives. Christ died for us. When we think about what Christ came to do, he came to die. He came to die for us. I'm always giving you John 3:16. I'm going to give you another verse. It's going to sound like John 3:16 because John 3:16 is the Bible. It's the Word of God. Okay? 1 John 4. Watch what it says. 1 John 4 and 9. And we think about what Jesus came to do. He came to die for us. He came to die for us. It says, and this was manifested the love of God. The love of God was shown toward us. How? Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Into the world. That we might live through him. That we might live through him. Watch this now. Herein is love. Not that we love God. Because nobody unsaved do. But that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means an atonement. He came to die for our sins. People say, well, why did Christ come? Why did Christ come? He came to die for our sins.
Amen.
And when we were yet sinners, mean we were enemies of God.
Right.
I heard somebody say it this morning in Sunday school. Listen, it's black or white. Okay? There ain't no gray areas in this. You either on the Lord's side or on the devil's side. There ain't no in between.
Amen.
There ain't I'm just trying to work this thing out. Well, why are you trying to work it out? You serving the devil. Okay? Well, I'm not committed yet. I'm not there yet. You're the devil's child.
That's right.
Okay? And the devil wants you to die uncommitted. That's what he wanna do. So the text says that he sent his only begotten son into the world. And y'all know what he came to do. He came to die. Here's how Peter says it. And Peter and John, these were the sons of thunder. These two apostles walked closely with the Lord. Peter puts it like this. In 1 Peter 3:18, Peter puts it like this. He said, for Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Now, y'all know which one y'all are, right? Okay? You're the unjust. That he might bring us to God. This is why it has to be preached. Jesus died and suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust. Why? That he might bring us to God. What do you mean, Pastor? If you don't come to God, if you don't come to the Lord, then you die in your sins. Jesus came and suffered once. He's not coming again to suffer. Okay? He's not coming again to suffer. He's not coming again and say, well, you know what? I think some people were thinking about it. The first time I came and died, a lot of people was thinking about it. I'm going to come again and die again. That's not going to happen. Okay? When he comes back, he's coming back on a white horse. And he's coming back to declare war. So, point number one, I would love to say, is there any questions? Not only did he die, it wouldn't be any sense of him dying if he wasn't raised again. Okay? See, we talk about the one songwriter say, what's more important, him being born or him dying? Okay? Him dying, because if he don't die, he can't be raised. He was raised for us. That's important. People don't say, why is that so important, Pastor? It's important, the fact that he was raised for us. Because if he had not been raised, then our hope would lie still in the grave. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. I have several verses on the resurrection, but you know what? A lot of people, when you preach on the resurrection, you preach on sin and on death, it's got to be preached.
Amen.
It's got to be preached. Sometimes, you know, sometimes God will make a way. He'll make a way so that you can hear the word clearly. See, sometimes church can be so much going on in the church, so much noise and so much confusion going on in church. Folk can't hear. And God, sometimes God say, you know what? It's good. Now I got you. I told y'all the story last week about the Russian soldiers that ran into the church. The church was full. Full house. Everybody had a good time. I mean, the drums was banging and everybody, they come in the door. I mean, the choir was just a rocking. I mean, folks was shouting. And these Russian soldiers came in dressed in all their gear and pulled their weapons and said, if you don't willing to die, confess Christ or die. And the church empty. About this many folks was left. And the soldiers took off their masks and now we can have church. Be careful. Here's why he died. Here's why he died. Here's why he was raised in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm at verse 50. I think I'm at verse 50. I am. Verse 51. Watch this now. This is a popular verse. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's right.
Amen.
Everybody going to be changed. Whether you love the Lord or don't. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. Okay? For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It's not a suggestion.
Amen.
For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on mortal. Mortal meaning this body who is just deteriorating as we speak. As we speak. I know some of y'all here young, you know, young, Jill and Ray, y'all young. Okay? When your body is mortal, it's going to start wearing down. Okay? Right now you think you're invincible. And you look over and you see Claire and Teddy them struggling to get around. Okay? Keep on living. Excuse me.
Amen.
Watch this now. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying is written, death is swallowed up in victory. What's the victory? What's the victory? The victory is the fact that Jesus Christ died and rose again. That's the greatest day. People say, what's the greatest day ever? The day that Jesus rose from the grave.
Amen.
The day that Jesus was resurrected from the grave. He wasn't resurrected for him.
That's right.
The tomb wasn't, the stone wasn't rolled back for him to get out. The stone was rolled back so that we could see that he wasn't in there.
Amen.
Oh, death, where is thy sting? Yes. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? See, the victory of the grave is to keep us there.
Amen.
Okay? And when those of us who know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, we have the victory.
Amen.
We have the victory in Jesus Christ because he has taken the sting out of death.
Amen.
The sting of death, verse 56, is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The law. And all the law could do is point out your sin. It could not deliver you from it. All the law could do is tell you, he guilty. Stone him. Here, she guilty. Stone her. But Jesus said, but thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through John 3:16. Through 1 John 4. Through Jesus Christ. Jesus came. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Because all the Old Testament spoke of me coming, all the sacrifices, all the lambs and all the bulls and all the sacrifices. No more. No more. No more. No more. Verse 58, powerful verse. Therefore, because you have the victory, because God has taken the sting out of death by sending his only begotten son, therefore, my beloved brethren. Now there's a divider there because everybody's not God's beloved. Now he's talking to people who know him as Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Now, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Be steadfast. Be unmovable.
Yes.
Always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Now, the church going through.
All right.
Not this church. Sister in Detroit church. Sister in Chicago's church, in Minnesota, in Canada, in the United Kingdom. Churches are going through. But what's God calling us to do?
Stand.
Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's like, well, you know, church going through, we're going through, and then moping around, everybody moping around, I'm tired, I'm rejected. Listen. You're no more like the devil than when you quit on God. You're no more like the devil. I'm too tired. I don't feel like it. But I'm supposed to feel like it every Sunday. I'm like a religious cheerleader. I haven't missed a Sunday in 9 years. But everybody can get sick but the pastor. Everybody can be tired. Everybody can have a headache. Everybody's speaking hurt. This don't just apply to me.
Amen.
Sometimes you just got to drag your crusty dusty into church. You'll feel better when you get here.
Amen.
Oh, pastor.
You preaching?
This is what it says. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always. Always. See, the Bible says it's by much tribulation that a man or a woman enter into the kingdom of God. You're not going to feel good all the time.
Amen.
You're not going to get all the sleep you need. Okay? But we have a source that we can tap into that the world don't have.
Amen.
We have a source that we can tap into that the world don't have. And that's why Paul can say, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Because he was raised for you. When he was raised for you, he was raised with all power. And you know what? The same power that raised Jesus is the same power that saved you.
Amen.
It didn't change. Peter said, we are saved how? By the precious blood of the Lamb. The same blood that saved Peter saved us.
Amen.
The same spirit that flowed through Peter is flowing through us.
Amen.
And these folks was getting crucified upside down. Andrew was crucified in a cross like this. Matthew was sawn in half. We get a little headache. Something happened in the church, we don't like it. He lives in us. That's what he came to do. He came to live with us. When he told Zacchaeus, he said, I must abide in you, in your house. I believe he meant a spiritual house too.
Amen.
He lives in us. If you are a Christian, if you are a beloved brother, if you are born again, Christ lives in you. He's taking up residence in you. You know what that means? You can't do everything you want to do. You're a servant. We talked about this morning, David. God called David my servant. And if you're a child of God, you're a servant of God. You ain't doing what you want to do. Some of y'all still stuck in the 70s and 80s. The song was out. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to suck it to. But when you come to the Lord, it ain't your thing no more.
Amen.
See, some folks say he lives in us. We think he lives in us because we run around the church and we speak in tongues and we do all this crazy stuff. And we think he lives in us. Let me tell you something. Here's what Paul says to the Galatians. Watch this now. Because see, some of y'all get it wrong. Well, he live in me. Well, if he live in you, he run you. He runs your soul and your actions and your words and your tempers. Everything right and good. You give credit to God because he lives in you. He lives in you. All your actions, all your words, all your tempers, all that's right and good, you give credit to God. And we out here, folks, all the time. First giving God, first giving honor to God. Who's the head of my life? Let me tell you something now. Them big words.
Uh-huh.
Them big words. Because if God is head, you're going to do what God say to.
Uh-huh.
See, some folks in here now. I don't like that Jesus. Nobody tells me what to do. Paul says this in Galatians 2:20. I think this is a great verse. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. How about that?
Wow.
I'm crucified with Christ. Here's what it means. You tell me that the Lord live in you, you've been filled with the Spirit of God. Then he can say, I am crucified with Christ. Y'all be walking around looking at your hands every once in a while. This is what he told the rich young ruler. This is about the rich young ruler. I believe most church folk will fall under the category of rich young ruler. If God really set you down and splintered all these mega churches and set them down and said, you know what? If you're going to follow me, and he would point out their sin. Because everybody's sin ain't stuff.
Amen.
Okay? If God was to sit you down and say, you're going to follow me, go sell all that you have, and we don't know what that might be, because it's going to be different for all of us. And most folks would turn and walk away. I can't give up that. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. And I like this. But Christ liveth in me. Paul knew it. He said, Christ liveth in me. Now, if you say you're a Christian, I believe everybody here would say I'm a Christian. You know why? Because 98% of the world is Christians. Okay? Everybody's a Christian. But Paul says this. He said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, was Christ living with you yesterday? Was Christ living within you a week ago? 2 weeks ago? Is he living with you now, in you? And in life which I now live, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How about that?
Amen.
Does that even make sense? Does that even make sense? Huh. God looking for folks. John 15 applies here. Gospel of John. Wonderful verse. Most of these of you guys are familiar with it. Think about it now. Think about it. Spiritualize it. Make it fit. Here's Jesus talking. Talking to his disciples. He says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Okay. Now the first question you have to ask yourself: If I'm connected to this true vine, I should be bearing fruit.
Amen.
Now you have to ask yourself: What kind of fruit am I bearing? Uh-huh. Is it delicious? Is it appetizing? Could I sell it to Giant Eagle or Sparkle? Okay. What kind of fruit am I bearing? Because we all bear fruit. Okay? When I was coming up a little kid, my father, for whatever reason, he tried to kill us all. He had one of the little poison, little green apples, them little hard green, y'all seen them before. And there you'd eat one of them. We all knew that they were supposed to be poison. I don't know, we bit them a few times and nothing happened to us. But they weren't the kind of apples you're going to sell. They weren't good. Okay? Listen. Verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. How about that? Are you abiding in the Lord? Is your soul controlled by the Lord? Are your actions, your words, your tempers controlled by the Lord? No. That's why I love children. She answered the question. Here's a big one. I'm just moving through the points. Okay. Every once in a while, I go online. Cindy and I go out to lunch. I go online. They have these places give you half off. I forget the name of them. 365. You can go get like $20 token, $20 coupon, and you get, or $10, you go to the restaurant, you get $20 of food. So Cindy and I, we go to different places and eat lunch. But you gotta have it. You gotta have a coupon. You gotta print it off. You gotta have it. When you go in, you order your food and your bill comes, you give them the coupon in, and it's basically you redeem it. Okay? You cash it in. It has some value, and you cash it in. But think about this. When we talk about why Christ came, the whole series I've been preaching on for the last 8-10 weeks on why Christ came. He came to redeem us. He came to redeem us. I heard a song I listened to. I am redeemed. Okay? Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You remember what the law does? Point you out. Matthew, you're wrong. You need to die. That's all the law did. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses is everyone that hangs on a tree. He redeemed us. The word redeemed means released. But you know, many of us in slavery, then we call it the Emancipation Proclamation. It came out, all slaves were free. Now I know this is a crude comparison because a lot of the slaves, they just could not leave. They just did not have the resources to leave. They were tied into these plantations, and if they would have left, they would have died. Their family would have died. So I'm not condemning a lot of the slaves for not leaving. When they were told they were free, a lot of them stayed. They just stayed because they didn't have the resources to leave. I'm making sense. I hope I am. But when God redeemed us, he gave us the power to leave a life of sin.
Yeah.
He gave us the power to be set free from the grips of Satan. But unlike the slaves, but we say, well, we like Satan. We like Satan. We like the company of the devil. And we'll stay when we've been redeemed. We've been set free. That's like, well, I preached a couple weeks ago about the ransom. You know, and imagine, and I think this happened with, I forget the one lady's name, she didn't want to leave. After that ransom was paid, had brainwashed her, and she didn't want to leave. But imagine you held captive. And you said, you call your church and say, Pastor, I'm being held ransom. And so we take up a love offering. And we pay the ransom. And they get the ransom, and then you decide you don't want to leave. That's almost what we would be saying when God says, you know what? I have redeemed you by sending my son to die for your sins. And you say, well, I don't want your son to die for my sins. I want to die in my sins.
Yep. Amen.
I don't know. Your ransom's been paid. How do I know that? Watch this now.
Need a couple verses. I'll give you verses.
I write stuff next to the ones that I really want to say. Here's John 5:24. Watch this, what it says. By being set free. By being redeemed. The theme is redeemed. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life. Sound like the subject we was on this morning in Sunday school. Watch this now. Here's how you have everlasting life. Here's how you know you're redeemed. You hear my word. And believe me, folks, let me tell you something. All around America, churches today, word not being preached. Okay?
Amen.
Word not being preached. Word not being preached. And folks think they have everlasting life, and they haven't heard the word.
Uh-huh.
And Paul told Timothy, and he told every pastor that's ever ordained or ever commissioned, preach the word.
Amen.
And folks don't want to hear the word because the word gonna confront them.
Uh-huh.
And folks don't like being confronted. Folks don't, how many in here have jobs where, well, you know, you need to go down to see the labor rep? Nobody want to hear that. Especially at General Motors and I was working at, you know, the last thing you want to go to labor rep, you got to go to labor relations. Uh-oh, what'd I do? They see me taking all them brake pads out of the plant. I had folks would do be fixing brakes in their backyard. They just stole all the brakes from General Motors. Give this verse 5:24 one more time. Verily, verily, I say unto you, and you, and you, and you, and you, all the way in the back. Verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believeth on him that sent me. This is Jesus talking, so believe on him that sent me, John 3:16. Have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Condemnation, divine judgment. One more verse. I'm getting there. Romans 8. Preach the word. I got a lot of verses.
Sorry.
So when you talk about redeemed, that's a big theme. That's a big theme in the Bible. So you can go a lot of places, and you don't hear big redeemed and redemption and resurrection, the importance of these. Come down and read that stuff. I get desperate. Say, I don't preach like I'm going to be here next week. I don't preach like, well, I'll cover that next month. I'm going to preach this word with desperation. You know why? Because last Sunday morning, I'm coming home.
Uh-oh.
I'm going 70 miles an hour. I'm going to speed at 70 miles an hour. It's 70 miles an hour. And I look up and there's the biggest deer I ever seen, 5 feet in front of me. And I'm driving a Toyota Prius, and that deer destroyed my car. Totaled it, destroyed it. Well, it ain't totaled because Jake's brother said he can fix anything. It's probably, like I told Josh, I said, I'm only going left and the car going right. But the car is just totaled. And I learned this from defensive driving because Spanky told me. Spanky told me this, Claire. Spanky said he was going to work and he hit a deer and he tried to turn. And he flipped that car over and ended up in down in the ditch. And he barely survived that. Do you remember that? Spanky, and he said, when you see a deer, don't turn. Just go straight through it. And I ain't had no choice because deer was 5 feet in front of me. But that deer tore down, the driver's fender, the whole hood came to the windshield. The driver's fender, the door, and the passenger on the driver's side, all of it just tore up. And if I'd have turned the wheel to the left or to the right, that deer coming through the window. That deer coming through the window. And we just had a lady a couple months ago in Youngstown got killed when a deer came through her windshield and we were two kids strapped in the back seat. I don't know if y'all remember that. So I don't take it for granted. So I sit here like, Joy, like, you know, Pastor, take it easy because my sister here from Detroit, you know, don't Joy ain't say that. I know she ain't said that. She probably say that's how he is every Sunday. She might Ed's toy. He like this every week. Yeah, he like, he crazy. But I don't preach this word.
Amen.
Because next week ain't guaranteed. He says this, and Paul writing again in Romans 8:3. He said, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You know what he's saying? There is condemnation for those who are not in Christ Jesus. Just a contrast. There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now remember, you hear Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Christ is not Jesus' last name, okay? Christ means Messiah,
amen.
Savior, okay? Therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in the Messiah, that are in the Savior, Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, my goodness. Let's keep going. I'm going to get all these points in. Now I'm going to sit down. I like this one. How many of you know it's a blessing? It is a divine privilege to be near church. To be a part of a church is an honor. It's a privilege. It is. It's one of the greatest joys of my life. I come out here a lot of times on Wednesday night, and I know folks be tired. But the Spirit of God shows up.
Amen.
The Spirit of God shows up. And normally now, folks have been a little bit sick and under the weather. It's only like 5 or 6, maybe 7 of us in there. And next thing you know, we just have a time of our life.
Yeah.
God is just moving in the place. And it's a joy. And a lot of times, I feel that way sometimes. I'll be like, man, most preachers wouldn't even come to Bible study if only 7 or 8 people came. They just cancel it for the summer. You know, most churches around here don't even have Bible studies anymore.
Mm-hmm.
On Wednesday night, they just cancel because not enough people come. Well, you know what? God has the answer for that. He says, 2 or 3 gather my name, I'm in the midst.
Amen. Amen.
And so, usually I break city, so I don't have no excuse.
Amen.
Okay. Listen. Paul says this. Everything's Paul. I don't know why it's everything's Paul today. Somebody text me and said, you know, Pastor, love Paul. I do love Paul. I want y'all to love Paul too. Because Paul kept it clean. Paul preached it straight. Paul got his head cut off. See? A lot of preachers don't like Paul. A lot of preachers don't like Paul because Paul got his head cut off. And so if you preach Paul, you're going to preach stuff that people don't like.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Yeah. He says this. Verse chapter 2 of Ephesians 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. How about that? Jesus came and die to bring us close to him.
Amen.
To bring us close to him. Because in this world, we're going to go through day after day, week after week. Stuff is happening. It gets something. How anybody ever got so bad for some of you guys? You don't even want to answer the phone. Anybody been there? You don't even want to answer the phone. You don't even want to see the mail, man. You don't know what might be coming in the mail. You'll be like, now we all been there. You all been there. But Jesus died so we could come near unto him. Come near unto him. What's the purpose of coming near unto him? Because when the closer we are to Jesus, the closer we are to Jesus, the more strength that we have, the more peace that we have, the more joy that we have. Listen, let me tell you something. And I say this, and I know you guys are grown. Okay? But if you can't get to Bible study, can't get to Sunday school, get you a radio station, find you somebody, download sermon audio, find you somebody, have you an appointed time daily or weekly where you hear from the Lord. Where you study and you find you someone maybe online that's preaching the true word of God and study. Study. That's where your strength comes from. I was renting a car after the car was total. So I go to Enterprise, a young man sitting at the desk, young man like see my ring on. And he's like, how long have you been married? Just like that. I said, long time. 30 something years, 35 years. Always got a year. For good sake. And he said, how long? How can you be married that long? He's a young guy. I said, trust in the Lord.
Amen.
I said, trust in the Lord. See? I tell a long time, fools fall in love. Fools can't stay in love.
Amen.
Okay? See? You would say, well, you know, I don't know. Well, if you don't think you can stay married, probably because you don't love her.
Who
me? What do you mean, Pastor? Well, I'm just a Bible thumper. Know why I say it? Because the Bible says it. You love somebody, you always love them. And don't tell them you love them, dear. Why, Pastor? Because love never fails.
Amen.
Amen.
That is, oh, I love her. And I love her. And I love her. Oh, I'm in love. You know? You don't even know what love is. God is love.
Amen.
Unsaved folks are not even getting married.
Amen.
Some of y'all got married wasn't saved.
Agreed.
It ain't easy, is it? Let me get you the last one. Somebody said, you're lying. It's the last one. Here's this verse we're so familiar with. Why God came? He came to give us strength. Anybody need some strength in here other than me? I'm wobbling around. God came to give us strength. Philippians 4:13. We familiar with this verse. We all know it. It says, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Now, some of you know that by experience. Some of you have done some things and overcome some things. And you're like, how did I do it? How did I overcome that? How did I ever deal with that? And you look back over your life and say, man, I've been through some stuff. Okay? Here's Paul again. I'm going to give you this last one on Paul. God. I know I could have wrote this on Paul. Listen. Here's Paul talking about what he went through.
2 Corinthians 11.
Some of us can understand this. We're in a suffering business. See, we don't like that because, see, Joe Osteen had tricked us all. Joe Osteen and Joyce Myers and T.D. Jakes and them guys, they didn't trick us all. That we ought to be happy and have a lot of stuff and be happy all the time.
Yep.
And that's not biblical. Then we gotta be happy. And if you're not happy, every day is Friday. Live your best life now. And we get caught up in thinking that if something goes wrong, we out of the will of God. Oh, our faith must be, something must be wrong with our faith. No, 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 no. You cannot stand for God in a fallen world and live your best life now.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Come on now. Here's Paul living his best life now. He's living his best life now. Paul says, are they ministers of Christ? Verse 23 of 2 Corinthians 11. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measures, in prisons more frequent, in death often, of the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Twice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in wilderness and weariness and painfulness, in watching often, hunger and thirst, and fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. That's the greatest man ever preached gospel.
Amen.
That's the greatest man ever preached gospel. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. How many apostles today have written anything in the Bible?
Watch out.
He is the greatest man outside of Jesus Christ. And look what he went through.
Man.
And we expect to go through nothing.
Uh-huh.
It's a problem. There's a disconnect.
Yep. Amen.
There's a disconnect. You do what's right. You stand on the word of God. You take everything, every issue, everything, and say, you know what? I'm going to line up with my decision on God's word.
Amen.
And most folks will call you a fool.
Uh-huh.
They call you a fool. Who is weak and I'm not weak, Paul says. Who is offended and I burn not. If I must needs glory. Same man who wrote 1 Corinthians 10:31. And all you eat, drink, and do to the glory of God. Paul said, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmity. Paul was happy to suffer for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we tuck our tail and stick our head in the sand at the first sign of trouble. Well, I know. I got PTSD. I did eat some deer the other day, though. My buddy just called the guy that hunts out here. He's like, "Hey, Pastor, you mind if we hunt on your grounds this year?" I said, "Go ahead." He said, "We get you a deer." I wanted to call back, so I got one. Listen, folks, I make.